concept here that I'm going to be presenting and talking about is really related to managing these open ditch channels that we have in Minnesota, and the concepts can apply in most places where there are open channel ditches for transferring water from fields into rivers and streams. But looking at two of the areas that we can actually do some management, and that is looking at flow and potentially water retention in some of these systems, and then trying to use natural processes like looking at plants for removal, or trying to find situations where we're potentially able to stimulate biogeochemical processes by getting conditions such that something, for example, denitrification could occur in a channel. And in Minnesota, I probably should have called these water quality criteria. For total phosphorus, the guideline for rivers and streams is 76 micrograms per liter. That is based on the ambient water quality criteria recommendations for ecoregion 6. That was a USDA document put out a number of years ago. The only one that has teeth that's up there is the nitrate drinking water standard, which is an EPA mandated criteria of 10 milligrams. And then the total N guideline for rivers and streams in our ecoregion of the southern part of Minnesota is 2.2 milligrams per liter. And as I go through my talk, if any of you were in here for some of the earlier talks, particularly the young lady from New York, when she was showing some of the nitrogen concentrations, those are going to be dramatically lower than when you see from an agricultural landscape in Minnesota. In Minnesota, this is one of the ditches that are in Minnesota. We've got 27,000 miles of drainage ditch in Minnesota, which provides us a lot of potential opportunity to do management in some of these systems. And a lot of these ditches come in all shapes and sizes, and there are, as I said, 27,000 miles of opportunity in Minnesota alone. Now, there are fairly interesting and unique nutrient cycling pathways in some of these ditch channels. Some of these ditch channels have been natural streams that have been straightened and widened to behave as a ditch. Some of them are actual areas where ditches have actually been constructed where there was no natural channel before. Inputs to those systems in our area include certainly precipitation, surface runoff, subsurface tile drainage is a major input in our region of the world, and then of course groundwater seepage into some of these systems. I've listed up there a number of the potential pathways which things like nitrogen and phosphorus can be cycled in the ditch. These are similar to what happens in lakes and streams, although in this particular system, because they're flashy related to the fact that they're conveying water during high flow periods and a large volume of water, the importance of some of these processes needs to be defined and characterized. So the methodology, the site that I'm going to talk about is located in southwestern Minnesota at the Southwestern Research and Outreach Center. This is a map of the drainage system and the drainage area of our research center. The areas that are in blue there represent all of the subsurface tile drainage that we have at our research location. So we are heavily influenced by subsurface tile drainage. The green area here represents the area of surface runoff that could contribute to our drainage system, and the red areas include the areas that subsurface drainage can be delivered to our drainage system. The drainage system, I'll show a close-up here in a minute, but this is our drainage system right down here that I'll be talking about. It's an experimental drainage system. We have 262 acres that are in that contributing area, and you can see the division as to how those are separated between surface and subsurface contributing areas. This is a basically more or less a small watershed scale type of a project where we're integrating sort of the complexities of the topography, the soil types, the climate that we have, the drainage characteristics, the land use at that research location where we can control things. This top picture is what I'd like you to focus on first. This drainage system essentially consists of a pair of drainage channels that are experimental channels. They were designed the same. They were constructed the same. We've got instrumentation and flow that comes in at the inlets of the channels, and I'll show some more details of that in a minute. And then there's similar instrumentation at the outlets of the channels. I use this one because it's easy to see the channels. When things start getting vegetated in, you can see we've had a pretty big storm event here. It's a little bit more difficult to see the two channels, but this is an experimental channel, the opposite side of this berm, and then here's one of them as well. Now, we're using a paired analysis approach for this project, so if any of you have heard me talk about this before, we went through about 2.5 years of calibration, where essentially we managed the two drainage canals, the two drainage channels the same, and that would be like what you see up here that's currently the control channel, where we have a water level control structure and a metering manhole that we have a flume in that we measure stage discharge in there, and the system just remains open all the time. The treatment with the ceremonial flip of the coin back in the middle of 2006, we went into this water table control structure and actually used some of the water level baffles to back water up into that drainage system about 18 inches high, about a half a meter. Data collection for this particular site involves weekly grab samples. We're looking at nitrate, ammonium, total nitrogen, total phosphorus, dissolved reactive phosphorus, of course flow. I'll be focusing on these data today. We also measure water properties, and you can see the list there that I won't be talking about, but these properties are going to be important for us as we look into the future and utilize this site to further refine what the actual processes are going on in these channels by trying to do some solute releases and looking at some of the water properties in addition to the solute injections. So we'll look at water quality. As I said, there are essentially two periods of time in this particular project. Starting back in 2004 through about the middle of 2006 was our calibration period, where both of the sets of experimental channels were managed the same. And then we moved into the middle of 2006 and now through 2007 in the treatment period, where the control channel is essentially managed the same as it's always been, with no control in the system, and the treatment actually has those baffles in it, so we're trying to retain water. Now, the big thing is that you'll notice here is that there's a big discrepancy between how flow is occurring in 07 compared to the other 2.5 years. This is what happens when you get a drought in the upper Midwest and you're trying to do water quality research. Sometimes things don't behave properly, so not as much flow as we normally get during this last period. This is some selected data after the treatment period was initiated, and I've got a slide here for nitrogen and a slide for phosphorus, total nitrogen and total phosphorus I'll be showing. But a couple of things that I want to point out, these open circles here represent the grab samples, and there's a bit of a downward trend in the total nitrogen values. I'm showing total nitrogen because about 99% of the nitrogen that we see flowing through these systems is as nitrate nitrogen. And you can see that our concentrations are between 15 and 25 milligrams per liter for this particular period. The other things that I want to point out are the storm samples. We use a flow partitioning method where we're looking at an intensive amount of samples as we increase the hydrograph, catch a peak sample, and then the decreasing limb of the hydrograph. And this rainstorm was really dominated by subsurface drainage. We saw the nitrate values decrease very slightly. This particular rain event happened to be a surface flow dominated event. As you can see, the nitrate values bottomed out, and we had a lot of dilution just because of the fact that we had surface runoff during that period. And this just sort of reinforces that. You look at some of the total phosphorus values. The grab samples were relatively low, although here we're already above that 76 micrograms per liter level here. But as you see, when we got up toward that storm event, the total phosphorus was quite a bit higher. This wasn't one of our biggest events that we've had. Those are actually pretty low values for the total phosphorus, most of that being from suspended sediments that we see in the channel. This is a visual of the grab sample data that we have collected over the last couple of years. This includes some of the 2007 data. And really, what we're seeing here is the tale of two time periods. Essentially, during that growing season and during the non-growing season period, or the late non-growing season. When we start getting into the later part of the growing season in our treatment channel, we see a very large reduction in total nitrogen. So the nitrate values drop off from that mid 15 to 20 milligram per liter down to less than 5. So there's a lot of geochemical cycling. Again, we're not saying that it's uptake or denitrification at this point, but there's been a very large precipitous drop in nitrogen during that later part of the season when there's low flow. During what was relatively meager high flow period in 2007, we really saw these two lines tracking together for nitrogen, and in fact the treatment channel was slightly higher at one point in time, and then essentially the faucet turned off and we really didn't get any more flow out of the system later on in the season. Total phosphorus is a little bit more jumpy, but they were really tracking together, at least if we look at the grab samples. Now, in the paired analysis approach, one of the main objectives that we're using and that we look at is we try to use regression techniques to compare the slopes and the intercepts of the lines between the calibration and the treatment period. So what we look at here is the calibration period is the represented by the regression of this black line, and the treatment period represented by the red line for total nitrogen. Now, all of the dots represent the grab samples and the peaks from different storm events. So it's a fairly small data set when you look at the overall data set that we've got collected. But what we're starting to see, at least in the early onset here, is that there's a point that our treatment is actually not doing too bad in terms of reducing nitrogen, but as we move on and we start actually getting up to the higher flow periods during the year, that we're actually exporting more nitrogen from that system. We were, at least early on, a little bit disappointed in that result because we were really trying to target nitrogen as one of the two nutrients that we were interested in trying to mitigate. Phosphorus, on the other hand, turned out to be a bit of a surprise in that the regression lines have different slopes and different intercepts here, and that this treatment period, the fact that the treatment regression line is lower than the calibration period suggests to us that we are having an impact on reducing phosphorus losses from that system by backing some of the water up compared to the nitrogen. Perfect timing. So the summary, our goal has been to evaluate management alternatives to reduce non-point source pollutant loads. We've been looking at nitrogen and phosphorus here. We do have data for total suspended solids, but in the limited time I just chose to show the nitrogen and phosphorus. So far, we've got preliminary results, 1 year's worth of data, and I say that because of the fact that we're looking at that treatment period now is really only about a year long since we've actually implemented that. Our grab samples indicate that we're reducing total nitrogen by about 75% during the low flow periods, but unfortunately during the higher flow periods, we were less effective in reducing the nitrogen concentrations there. During the high flow periods, as I said, we were losing more N. And when we look at managing the ditches, so far for phosphorus, it seems like it's been a pretty good deal. I just want to mention real quickly at the bottom that This project, along with many others that we've worked on, couldn't be possible without input and support from producers, industry, government, working together to work on these projects. Thank you.